flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in here on WQAM Hollywood. Omar Kelly, Dan Day along here with you. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. We have a special guest here with us from Heitner Legal. Darren Heitner, he is an attorney who has handled a lot of the NIL era here, and we have a controversy going on that he is involved in right now. Darren, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
I want to jump right into this one here, and we have a player, Xavier Lucas, who is attempting to transfer from Wisconsin. Wisconsin said in a statement that he has entered into a binding two-year NIL agreement. I did not know that you could enter into binding NIL agreements. I believe that you cannot. I hope that you can maybe explain to us what the binding two-year NIL agreement they are talking about actually means.
Sure. So this binding two-year NIL agreement is actually a memorandum of understanding, otherwise known as an MOU. And as you stated, I had the same confusion, which is how can a school today or in December when this was allegedly entered into sign an agreement with a player that purports to pay that player when the NCAA rules as they currently are situated precludes schools and players from entering into these pay-for-play arrangements. And while the MOU goes to great lengths to describe it as not being pay-for-play, when you include a clause that says that the school can increase or decrease compensation based on how the player performs in games, that is pay-for-play for all intents and purposes. But most importantly, this relies upon a settlement agreement that has been preliminarily approved, but not finally approved. And a federal judge in a case, House v. NCAA, will have a hearing April 7th of this year where she may decide to approve it. She may decide to reject it or decide, I'm not going to rule on it right now. But without that ruling, there is no MOU. So to me, this is all premature. And by the way, whether or not this MOU was in existence, is valid and binding, does not give Wisconsin a get-out-of-jail-free card. It violated an NCAA bylaw, 13-1-1-3-1, which required it to place Xavier Lucas's name into the transfer portal within two business days of his request. It did not do so. Even though we asked over and over again, it refused to do that, so we had to find a creative solution, and lo and behold, he was able to escape Wisconsin and is now enrolled at the University of Miami.
So I guess, Darren, the follow-up is Wisconsin going to actually pursue some sort of legal action? Do they have a cause? Like, I mean, wouldn't they have to prove some sort of damages?
Yeah, a lot of questions are happy to answer. You know, I don't know whether Wisconsin is going to escalate this to litigation. It has not said to me that it is preparing for or is about to file a lawsuit against Xavier Lucas. I think outside of just the legal questions, it would make what is already a very bad, nightmarish PR experience for the school even worse. It has taken actions to make this from probably a local regional story to a national one. And I don't see how Wisconsin looks good in any of it. But to your point, even if it could, let's say, bring a case for breach of contract, what are the damages? Wisconsin's not going to get injunctive relief to prevent Xavier Lucas from being admitted and enrolled at another school and playing for that school's football team. So one thing that has come out, and I can affirm this, is Xavier Lucas has not yet been paid any money from the University of Wisconsin. So what are the monetary damages here? To me, it just makes no sense that Wisconsin would escalate this. You don't only have to have a claim on the merits. You have to have damages. And here I don't see any. And the only thing that I would say is I didn't expect Wisconsin to hold firm on not putting his name into the transfer portal when it's quite clear the bylaws required it. I didn't think Wisconsin would issue a public statement that admitted to their violations. So I also don't expect that they will escalate to litigation, but who knows?
I guess another follow-up, and this is all so new to everyone, but it's name, image, and likeness, right? Like, they're not supposed to theoretically sign him to a deal.
Pay
him up front, right? I mean, this is supposed to be an NIL deal, right? I mean, isn't there supposed to be a difference? Like, they're not employees of the school, which is, I guess, what we're probably getting closer to, right? Isn't that the end game here, that if they can become employees of the school, then they could sign employment contracts, right? But, like, now, I mean, is the money even technically coming from the school?
It would be under the auspices of this arrangement if, in fact, that settlement that I referred to before receives final approval. But your points are very well taken. It's not even the school. It's the Big Ten, which, by the way, put out its own statement.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because the Big Ten drafted this template MOU and sent it to all the Big Ten schools and said, here you go. Why don't you use this if you're signing up players? Now, not every Big Ten school has felt comfortable using it, but obviously Wisconsin was one that did. And I think Wisconsin's getting a lot of pressure from the Big Ten to try to enforce it, because if it's not enforceable, it's a bad look for the conference as a whole. They try in this document to have the athlete affirm this is not an employee-employer relationship. Well, it sure seems like one. Wisconsin uses the word tampering in its statement. Well, that sounds like an employer-employee relationship. As I mentioned before, if the school can increase or decrease the compensation, really, whatever's negotiated when it's signed doesn't matter, because it's all based on pay for play, and the school can decide based on what's being done on the field whether to pay the player a lot of money or nothing at all. This was actually a concern that Judge Wilkin, the judge overseeing the settlement that I've talked about, mentioned when she held hearings surrounding preliminary approval of the settlement, which is, aren't all you're doing is actually paying the players what you say is not allowed and that you want to keep prohibited? So I think, well, I know schools, chancellors, presidents, conferences, they're speaking out of both sides of their mouths. And at some point in time, yes, the writing's on the wall. Football players, men's basketball players, will be deemed employees. The longer that the NCAA, colleges, presidents, chancellors resist that, the longer we're going to see all this quote-unquote chaos in the ecosystem.
We're talking to Darren Heitner, the founder of Heitner Legal. You're also a University of Miami law professor. You teach about the NIL. Now, Darren, please explain me this. I've been a major advocate for players being compensated for the work and labor that they did. But when did this cat come out the bag in terms of everybody can transfer everywhere whenever they want, leave schools, and now we're saying that the contracts that they're signing for name, image, and likeness is not necessarily binding. How did this become the Wild Wild West?
Go back to my last statement. It's because these schools, which make up the NCAA and the conferences, have resisted classifying football players and men's basketball players as employees. All that they have to do is recognize them as such and bargain for rules with them. The problem that they have right now is they don't have the cover of labor laws. If you think about the NFL as an example, you have a collective bargaining agreement, you have a salary cap. These are negotiated rules and terms between the teams and the players. But what we have in the NCAA system are rules being forced upon the players, and it's a collusive effort. You have all these member schools. There's no other option for these players, truly, besides going to college before, let's say, they go to the NFL. And what has been ruled upon time and time again over the past few years is that this amounts to an antitrust violation. So to your specific question about the transfer portal, it's not so long ago that if a player decided to transfer, he had to sit out a season. He had to sit out a year if it wasn't his first time transferring. Well, the attorney general of the state of Ohio, along with other attorneys general, decided to sue the NCAA not so long ago, and a preliminary injunction was granted saying that this was an improper restraint on trade. And that's what opened up the floodgates to allow players to transfer at two times during the year during those transfer portals. I'll be honest with you. We had a complaint drafted in this Xavier Lucas issue where we were going to sue the NCAA and Wisconsin because we were getting frustrated by Wisconsin, who was not willing to put him in the transfer portal. The NCAA threw their hands up in the air and said, we can't force Wisconsin to put him in the transfer portal. We can only punish Wisconsin after the fact. And it was really right before we were about to file a complaint to blow up the transfer portal system as a whole that we found a creative solution, which was, let's just have Xavier unenroll from Wisconsin and have him on his own apply for admission at the University of Miami because that's where he wanted to be and specifically be close to home. And that was a solution that we avoided blowing up the transfer portal as a whole, but I think that's probably coming at some point in time.
Darren, who is pulling the strings on everything right now? You mentioned that the NCAA, I know the conferences seem like, I mean, at least the SEC and the Big Ten seem to be at the forefront of everything, but who's essentially pulling all the strings on these things and coming up with these rules as we go?
I'm learning more and more that the NCAA over the past few years has been completely depleted. Mm-hmm. And I really do think it's the Big Ten and the SEC who have the majority of the power. And I mean, again, going back to just recent days, to be specific, Saturday night, I mean, when's the last time you saw a statement from a school like Wisconsin followed up minutes later from the Big Ten? I think that was the Big Ten signaling, you know, we are all powerful and we're not happy about this situation. I mean, just days prior to that, the NCAA came out with a statement that shocked me, which was that, hey, you know, without mentioning my name, hey, Darren, you kind of figured us out. You can go around the transfer portal and just have a player unenroll and then enroll elsewhere and doesn't have to sit out an academic year. So, yeah, to me, it seems like the rules, they haven't mattered for a long time, but they really don't matter if Wisconsin, which is a member institution of the NCAA, has agreed to the NCAA's constitution, essentially says, well, we signed a contract or an MOU, so we don't feel like we need to follow the rules. Do whatever you want to us, NCAA. We don't care.
Really interesting stuff. Darren, I want to thank you so much for your time, and I'll leave you on this one. If you just give us your best guess, how this situation with Xavier Lucas, how will this end? What are the next steps here? Is he going to be able to play for the University of Miami? Do you think that this is going to continue to be a battle? How is this going to play out?
He will be able to play for the University of Miami. I got all assurances I needed prior to putting this plan in motion. So I am confident about that. He's enrolled. I believe he initially enrolled for the fall, should be reclassified for the spring if he hasn't already. As far as Wisconsin, the Big Ten, I thought this was going to go away. As we know, the media cycle now, you ignore it. In a few days, we're talking about something else. I was shocked that they put out those statements. But I still think cooler heads prevail. They realize this is not something they want to keep in the media, something that doesn't ever look good when you're suing a player. And I do think this goes away.
What a bad look for Wisconsin and the Big Ten. The irony of the Big Ten complaining, when they seem to be at the forefront of breaking all these rules too, is pretty comical as well. But Darren, thank you so much for the time. You do a great job with all this stuff, and we appreciate you educating us on the issues this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Darren Heitner, Heitner Legal, man, what an interesting interview there, Omar. He's
like the solo man taking on the NCAA.
Yeah. I'm glad we got answers to a lot of those questions. I thought that was very, very interesting stuff. But,
so basically, the NCAA has rules that they can not enforce. And if you're summarizing the conversation, the SEC and the Big Ten are basically running college athletics and telling the NCAA what to do.
It's a strange time in college sports.
It is.
But I go back to like what I was telling you originally is that these guys cannot sign binding contracts. They just can't. Now, can you sign...
Not to the university, but the...
Not to the university.
And the universities refuse to declare them employees.
Yeah, I mean, so like again, yeah, these guys can sign whatever they want. But that doesn't mean you can hold a gun to their head and say, you can't leave.
And it also means that the universities can renege on payment. And those are the biggest issues that I think even some lawsuits, I wish we had time to address that. But
I hope that this gets to a point where these guys are just considered employees of the school and they sign real employment contracts.
They have to unionize, and I don't think the NCAA wants that. You don't want that. You don't want to have to be accountable.
But the question
to a
becomes,
union.
And I saw. So I was just asking,
and I basically knew this
before I asked him, but like the NCAA is losing power by the day. Like that's obvious, right? They can't really do. There's not much that they can do anymore, but. Is this getting to a place where you're just going to have super conferences that are going to represent themselves and kind of go off on their own? I mean, look, let's be realistic here, Omar.
They kind of need a governing body.
But let's be realistic. If you're the SEC, aren't you looking around like, why do we need these other guys? What do they bring to the table that we don't already have?
Because
the SEC's got enough schools. They add three or four more, and they got enough. They wouldn't even need to leave the conference.
But then you can't declare a national champion.
Do you think they care? Again, this is all about money, man. This isn't about, you know, pride and national championships and all this other stuff. They have shown you, Omar, that they are willing to get rid of rivalries that have lasted forever in the name of conference realignment.
Yeah.
Right?
They just ate the Pac-12.
Yeah. I mean, they will get rid of whatever they have to do in the name of money. But just, I think, very interesting stuff. That was great that we had him on this morning. And I thought that was very interesting stuff. And it's funny, like a texter says, I hope you bring someone on who will represent the Wisconsin side of things. Though I agree with your guess, you owe the listener more than a one-sided view, please. I don't know what other side view there is. Like, I get Wisconsin's beef.
Yeah.
I get why they're not happy right now. They think they signed this guy to an NIL deal, and he should be playing there. I get it. But he doesn't want to play there, so what are you going to do? You going to force him to? You going to sue him?
Pretty much.
You going to sue a 19-year-old kid?
Like, who wants to transfer to be closer to home?
Yeah, is that really like the road that Wisconsin wants to go down? And I agree with Darren. I think that Wisconsin would be very well served to just let this die. You don't want your name on the front page of ESPN.com because you're suing a 19-year-old kid.
I think it's about the contract being legally binding.
But it's not. So, like, let's move on and stop threatening to sue people. That's the American way, right, to sue people.
I know. I'm like, you just contradicted everything your wife is about.
I know. Let's just sue everyone, Omar. We must be one big, giant lawsuit. All right. We have to take a pause. Dave Hyde is going to join us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk everything with Dave. He covers it all, man. We'll get his take on this. The Jimmy Butler thing has kind of quieted down for a day or two here, but the Heat are back in action. So we will find out about that. Another person said Lucas's dad is sick as well. I'm not 100% sure on, but if that's what someone says. Look, either way, he wants to be here. He wants to be closer to home. It is what it is, man. You can't stop them. You just can't. Not in this day and age. And yes, you know what, Omar, if this was 4 or 5 years ago, Wisconsin could have absolutely said no. Or you can transfer, but we're going to send you to...
And we're going to force you to sit out.
Here's a list of approved schools that you can go to.
That is correct.
And you're going to have to sit out a year and, you know, all that other stuff. That part of the system is better for the kids. Now, again, I agree that this every single year transferring, not so good. That's not good for anyone.
No.
It's not good for the kids. It's not good for the schools.
But it's been
not
struck
good for
down
the
by the courts.
Football fans. It's not, that is not good. But yeah, so Texas says to the SEC, the SEC champion is the world champion. That's how big their ego is. Yeah, like the SEC, I am guessing they feel like in their minds that they don't need anyone else. And I don't know if we're getting to that point where they break away, where these other conferences decide to do their own thing. I don't know where we're going to be in 2 years from now, Omar. I don't know where we're going to be. How about in 5 years from now, where this whole thing is going to be? It's all very interesting. But again, thank you to Darren for joining us.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I got to tell you, man, the reaction, like I do love everyone's reaction to stuff. And it's a great thing that we get to see. And you get to see everyone's point of views on things.
Is it really great?
Well, if you agree with it, sometimes it could be good, but sometimes it could be bad. Like
I'm usually just attacked.
Like a texter here. Yeah, you do get attacked more than most. 609 says, stop treating them as kids. They are professionals. It's like, you know what, man?
No, they're actually not.
I will be honest. All right. Here's the way I look at it. And first of all, yes, I am too close to this thing. I do a lot of stuff at the university. I like being around the kids and the school.
I did too.
And everything. And so I'm maybe the wrong person.
That's when it was pure.
I will tell you that first off, I worked when I was in college. I went to school for 4 years and graduated college. I worked essentially the entire time. Jobs that I wanted to work at for the most part, right? Like I got paid to do student radio. I got paid to work in the athletics department. Like I did stuff I wanted to do and I got paid for it. And I still did not feel like a pro. I felt like I was just a kid in college.
Okay.
I think that these guys should be entitled to be kids for the time that they are in college. They are also, for whatever it's worth, they are getting compensated for name, image, and likeness. They are simply supposed to be getting compensated for the university's profiting off of their name. Right? When I was in school, we, like everyone else, they had a star quarterback or whatever. We had a quarterback.
Who was it? Kyle Wright?
I didn't go to University of Miami.
I went to
South Florida, Tampa. We had a quarterback named Matt Grothy, and he was very popular around campus. Team was good. They had like 2 years of good football, never to be heard from again. But we had a star quarterback. They sold his jersey in the bookstore. It had a number 8 on the back. Didn't have his name on it. He wore number 8. You see where I'm going with this? Like, clearly, it's his jersey. People wanted to wear it. Tim Tebow, a good example. He came around, I want to say, right towards the end of my college tenure.
Biggest
college I'm guessing
athlete.
They sold a lot of number 15s at the Florida Gator bookstore. Who else? Jameis Winston at Florida State. I'm guessing they
crab
sold
legs.
A lot
free,
of his
crab
jersey.
Legs.
So, in theory, what was supposed to happen was these guys were supposed to get a piece of that. Now, they're not. This is not supposed to be pay for play. So they are not technically professional athletes. So let's pump the brakes on that a little bit, all right? Before we start berating these guys and all this stuff like they're pro athletes. These are 18 and 19 year old kids who may or may not be getting the best advice.
They need to unionize.
So let's just relax on like everyone wants to like just go after everyone, you know? And another guy was like, well, you wouldn't have this same take if it was the other way around. And he was leaving Miami to go to Wisconsin. Man, maybe you haven't listened to me much, but I don't jump all over college kids. I don't get, like, it's not my thing. I don't get a rise out of, you know, going after an 18 or 19-year-old kid. Let them do what they want to do. Okay, first of all, it doesn't matter what we say. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. But take it easy on the 18 and 19-year-olds, okay, before we start crowning them pro athletes. Now, you're a 23-year-old transfer quarterback who's getting paid $5 million. I get
five?
It.
You're raising the price already?
Four.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little bit of a different situation, okay? I get that. Like, I get that people see that level of money and they say, all right, wow, this is pretty crazy.
He's getting paid more than NFL starters.
This is a kid who had a very little impact at Wisconsin. They showed his numbers. He's very little impact. He wants to be here. He wants to be back home. Like,
Wisconsin is upset that they're not getting their initial investment.
Yeah. Like, it's going to happen both ways, man. But don't go out and, like, let's sue, you know. Let's sue the kid. Let's see if we can't force him to play here at Wisconsin. Text coming in. Happy to read those if people want to give their takes on these things. Don't be ridiculous. They're getting 100% getting paid for play. Carson Beck, as an example, is getting $4 million. Come on, dude. Yeah, like, again, I get it. You want to draw the comparison between the $4 million quarterback and, the 18-year-old who's just trying to find his footing in this thing? Fine. You can draw the difference there. There is a difference, Omar. But, like, man, let these guys be kids for just a little bit, right? Like, they have been dealing with this since, I don't know, what, 14, 15 years old, a lot of these guys? Right? They're getting recruited and, early in high school here.
Man, this situation, I wanted it.
You put a lot of pressure on kids. Like, to an extent, it's not fair to them. Like, I get it. They're making money, and everyone's
compensated
like,
to
they're getting
million
money,
dollars.
And so they deserve like everything
you can,
they get. Like,
you can literally make more money in college athletics right now than being a second round pick in the NFL draft, which is crazy to me, which is absolutely ridiculous and insane. But it just shows that there was a lot of money in college athletics, and for these shares to be finally going to some of the players, or some of the revenue going to some of the players, I think is a step in the right direction. But it's a little bit out of whack now. I'm going to acknowledge that. It's a little, this whole transfer every year and go wherever you want and sign to the highest bidder and, a 2-year binding contract that isn't really binding. This is a wild, wild west. There needs to be some unionization, some regulation. High school players shouldn't be signing with agents. I firmly believe that. Even though they've been doing it for a while in baseball and other realms, I just don't believe that a high school player should be pimped out by an agent.
It's a crazy world, man. It is a crazy world. All right, we have to take a pause. Dave Hyde, the peaceful Dave Hyde, will join us at 8. We've been mixing it up a little bit here this morning. We will take a pause, and we will get back with Dave coming up the 8 o'clock hour. Man, this is what a crazy world we're living in here, Omar. You know, it's funny, Dan. I was listening to Bill Burr's podcast yesterday as I was driving, and he made a comment I thought was kind of funny. He goes, everyone's gonna rip Mark Andrews, and he goes, they're just gonna take out their miserable lives on him. It's like, you're not happy with your life, so you're going to attack Mark Andrews. I thought that was kind of funny yesterday. I go, yeah, it's kind of how it works, right? Like, you want to destroy these people because they didn't, the guy didn't catch a ball. He's on your team, whatever. I get it. I get it. It's kind of an angry world we're living in out. We're doing better now, Omar. We better now. This guy's coming to Hard Rock Stadium, isn't he? Post Malone?
Oh, okay. I loved him.
I guess he had a little issue selling tickets.
Yeah.
Is that he's no Coldplay or Taylor Swift.
I saw him at a Rolling Loud many, many years ago, and he was amazing. I didn't even know he was that good of a performer.
Well, there's plenty of tickets available, it looked like, so maybe we can go. I heard people complaining about the Taylor Swift thing yesterday too. I thought we were over that, man. I thought we were like, we're all good with that. Now people are still getting riled up. She was with Caitlin Clark at the last game, so That was Caitlin Clark. You know who Caitlin Clark is? No? No.
Tell me.
Yeah, Omar, I remember that take that she wasn't going to be that good and what made her special.
Which one was Caitlin Clark?
She's the women's basketball player, women's basketball player.
Omar remembers what he said.
Played at Iowa.
Oh, her. Okay. Omar.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe the most famous. What makes her special?
She's not going to be that good. She broke records in her rookie year, and she also got everybody paid.
Do me a favor.
That's cute.
Don't comment on her right now because we've already offended enough people this morning.
That's cute.
And you don't even know who she is at this point, so let's do this. Let's take a pause. Let's get caught up and let's talk to Dave Hyde. Please, I don't want to offend anyone before the sun comes up anymore this morning. The sun may not come up though, by the way. It's very gloomy out today. It's a rainy day.
Feels like Seattle.
I don't know what the deal is with the weather here. So it's funny. I went with the Canes basketball team to New York, and I haven't been to New York in a long time. We got there. It was nighttime when we got there. I saw the sun the first day for a little bit. And then it started raining. And it rained and was dark the entire... We were there for like 3 days. It rained the entire time we were there, and I did not see the sun. It also... So like it gets like it is now, where like you could tell that it's daytime at least. It gets like that during the day, but then at like 3 o'clock, the sun sets there. And I was so... I felt... it was tougher being in New York than it was like being out west. As far as like, you know, acclimating to the time, because like the Canes played, their game was early out there too. It was like a 6 o'clock game, but it got dark at 3. And I swear, man, I was so like, I needed like coffee and whatever, like anything I could get to stay. And I don't even drink coffee. Anything I could have to stay awake out there because it was so gloomy and just so dark there.
I think if you don't travel, you take South Florida for granted because you think everywhere has sun.
I think you're right, man, and you do it. You travel for a living. I don't. I don't travel a whole lot.
Sun is optional some places.
I don't know anything about anything because apparently we were trying to book. My son wants to go to Fenway Park. He plays for the Red Sox. That's his team at the Danny Berry League.
Yeah.
He plays for the Red Sox. We want to go to Fenway for his spring break.
Uh-huh.
I told you I went on to start looking for hotels.
Quincy.
Quincy what?
Try Quincy. Quincy and Newton to the hotels. In Boston.
In Boston?
Area. Yeah.
No, well, we want to stay in Boston when we go. We want to stay in the city.
I know. I understand that.
Anyway, so I went online and I started looking at hotels and I noticed like the Hampton Inn at the airport was $700. And I turned to my wife and go, this is odd. She goes, well, maybe it's an expensive city. I said, no, something feels like it's going on at this time. Like, why would these hotels be this expensive? And it was the Boston Marathon going on. It's the Boston Marathon. So we might have to reschedule.
Probably the worst time to go to Boston.
So essentially, I need help here because we're either going to do, we wanted to do Yankee Stadium. That's on the list. Are there any parks that people have been to? We've already done Wrigley. Any other parks out there that people would highly recommend that are like must-see baseball parks? Because I want to do a baseball park for his spring break, but I just don't want to go to Boston during the marathon week. I just feel like it'd be not like an ideal weekend. I'm not a fan of crowds, as you know.
Yes, I know. Mental high five for that.
I do feel like it might be a little bit crowded weekend.
That's not the
so,
week to go.
If anyone has any suggestions, anything you've taken your kids to, any parks that you like, let me know. I'd be happy to, or very grateful for your suggestions here this morning. I am very grateful that we're going to have Dave Hyde coming on because we've gotten into a lot of sticky subjects here this morning, Omar. Dave, usually a very peaceful man.